Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. It is the Buckmaster Show for Tuesday, June the 18th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day. We are live each weekday right here on The Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show and podcasting at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Got things rolling today with a newsmaker interview with State Senator Steve Farley, a Democrat from Tucson's District 9. 20 past the hour, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, who I'm sure has a big smile on his face. The market doing very well today. Then our monthly Blogger Beat segment. David Safir will join me in studio. David works for the award-winning blog for Arizona. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us now on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to follow us on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's go now to the live line in the state capitol. State Senator Steve Farley joins us. Senator, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. I know you're up in Phoenix for the signing. Is it of the sales tax reform legislation?
Yes. We don't know exactly when it is. We thought it might be today, but it might be tomorrow, and it should go through soon. So I'm waiting for a call. That was quite a dramatic story of how we got that through, because the many sides to simplify our sales tax code, which helps small businesses, big businesses. It helps our cities because it would make us qualify for the Federal Marketplace Fairness Act, which would enable us to get $700 million a year more from online sales tax that are currently not being collected. It's good for everyone, but it almost fell through and was dead on the last day. I brokered a deal with the League of Cities and the business community, and the governor and their Republican legislators got on board, and we were able to pass it unanimously. So that's pretty historic. They've been working on trying to simplify and reform that system for at least 40 years that I know of.
The Arizona Republic called this legislative session, Steve Farley, one of the most productive sessions in recent years, giving actually very high marks on many of these items. Medicaid expansion, they gave an A+, the budget a B, the sales tax reform an A-, education funding a B, Medicaid reform and A, Child Protective Services and A-. Pretty good session, would you say so?
This is my seventh session up here, and I'm used to, when we're done signing dying, always going through a period of mourning. This time we're going through a period of celebration, and that's a whole new story. When you can get people from both sides to come together and enact a moderate, bipartisan, fiscally responsible budget, as well as some of the most important legislation we've ever seen, the Medicaid restoration. It's an incredible accomplishment to be part of the majority that accomplished that, particularly when you are in the minority. It's a whole different way of looking at things. And another thing I'm very excited about is I was able to get one of my ideas in there by working very closely with a number of Republicans in the House and the Senate. We're using $2 million from the interest earned off the Rainy Day Fund and spending $1 million to go for new grants for the Arts Commission, to go to arts organizations all over the state, and $1 million for capital improvements at state parks all over the state. Both of those agencies have sacrificed greatly to try to help us in our fiscal crisis over the last several years. The Arts Commission was zeroed out from the general fund support. That amount of money is life-changing for our arts and culture organizations and our natural heritage parks.
Steve Farley is with us, State Senator from District 9 in Tucson. He is a Democrat, and I want to ask you about the legislation the governor signed yesterday expanding Medicaid in Arizona. Is it my understanding that this will not take effect until the end of the year? And then there's this other challenge that former State Senator Frank Antonori says that he may be ready as early as today to file a referendum to put the question on Medicaid expansion to the voters. How do you see this challenge?
I don't think the challenge has any merit. I mean, number one, I'm not clear he's going to get the signatures necessary, about 120,000 really, in order to get enough cushion to be successful. And that's 2,000 a day for the next 90 days to be able to get that on the ballot in the middle of summer in Arizona. That's going to be challenging. But even once he turns it in, there's no basis for the referendum because legal precedent has clearly held that anything that is a part of a budget, and the Medicaid restoration was part of the health burp of the budget. So when she signed the entire budget, she signed the Medicaid restoration. It's inextricable from the budget. You cannot refer a budget bill. That's been held clearly. If you could refer a budget bill, you would be holding up the state from spending any money on anything until the next election, and that would be disaster for the state. So I don't see this as going through. Even if they do get the signatures, it won't go through with the courts. And the bottom line is the majority of Arizonans have been waiting for this type of breakthrough. People in Arizona want to have health care coverage for those who can't afford it. They want to have our hospitals healthy again instead of on the verge of bankruptcy because from unreimbursed care. They want to bring in $8 billion in federal money over the next 4 years to help boost our economy. And they want the different parties to come together and put partisanship aside. Frankly, this stuff that Mr. Antonori and Mr. Gould are doing is pure partisan posturing. And that's what everyone in Arizona has had enough of.
Well, this would – the expansion goes into effect when, Steve Farley?
The expansion starts within 90 days of this session, so September 12th.
Okay.
So the process will start then. It'll be implemented, and the access director will figure out what fees are charged to hospitals, and they will immediately start the eligibility at that point.
The governor noted during her signing ceremony yesterday, which was very well attended by Democrats and this rather unusual coalition of 14 Republicans who worked with your Democratic colleagues in the legislature. The conservative Republicans are now going to make this a big election issue for those 14 Republicans, including Ethan Orr, state representative from the Tucson area here, who was one of the Republicans. Do you think it's going to be a big issue or not?
It'll be a big issue for the people who are on the extreme right. However, I don't think the people on the extreme right hold the majority in the state. I don't think they even hold the majority within their own primary anymore. Even within the Republican Party, I'm telling you, I was walking door to door last election, a lot of Republican doors. I even ran to people who were precinct committee people for the Republican Party who were saying they were sick of this political posturing they were seeing, and they wanted people to work together on top priorities like education, healthcare, and economic development. That's what we've done, and I think Ethan has done a great job of doing that, while still remaining true to conservative and Republican values. And that's what a lot of these people have done. So there may be people trying to throw up and throw these people down. I don't think they will have much success with it because we're really done with that kind of partisan garbage. I really think so. The kind of spirit we have had of people putting their differences aside and working together on stuff that's good for everybody, we cannot go back from that, and I think the people of Arizona have been waiting for this for a really long time.
So it sounds like you're saying the real lasting legacy could be some of the more politically moderate lawmakers in the Republican Party forming more of these coalitions in the next legislative session. In other words, you don't think this is just an anomaly?
No, it isn't. I mean, and we saw the bipartisan effort at the sales tax simplification effort as well. There are a lot of things we can work together on. This whole effort of funding the arts in the parks, that was a strong bipartisan effort also. We're going to find more of that, and I've talked with a number of my Republican colleagues who are actively looking for more issues we can work together on. That's what we're supposed to do as a representative deliberative body. We're not just supposed to yell talking points at each other. We're supposed to talk and listen and work together on things because most of what we work on up here are things that should not be partisan. And we have now proven that we can stand up to incredible partisan pressure, break through that pressure, and do what's right for everybody.
How about election reform? That was one of the last measures to sneak through this legislative session.
Yeah, that was a disappointment because that was an aspect where the Republican National Committee actually called various Republican senators on the last day. And they they pressured them very heavily, in some cases threatened them, if they didn't change their vote to support these package of voter suppression measures. That was one of the down notes of this session. I do have faith that perhaps the governor will veto this. I think she sees that not making it a felony for somebody to carry your neighbor's ballot to the polls is a bad idea and will probably disfranchise a whole lot of elders who are stuck at home and can't get out of their homes. And I think she could veto it. And even if that does not, if she does not veto it, I think there's a good chance the Department of Justice will slap it down because it's clearly aimed at suppressing voter turnout. And that's something that we're still responsible, the Department of Justice, to throw our elections laws past them to see if they're going to violate that or suppress voter turnout. And I think this bill was designed to do that. So I think it will go down one way or another. And I have faith in the governor this time because she has been showing a lot of wisdom, frankly, this year. Will have the courage to veto this as well.
Have you heard anything about your application to the Department of Transportation for a job in Washington?
No, I've been totally focused on changing Arizona for the better here, so we'll just sit and wait and see if anything happens. If it doesn't, I'm very happy to represent my constituents.
And that probably, you probably won't get a lot of notice if you do, if they do accept you, you'll probably get a phone call and say, be back here in a week or so.
I think it's a long process. The position I'm looking for there is actually a Senate confirmation position, so it would probably take months to actually get through the process, But that's not started yet, so I will. I'm continuing to do what I can to make this a great place.
Thanks a lot, Steve Farley, State Senator, District 9 in Tucson. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill. It's always great to be on. You're so thoughtful.
Thank you very much. Steve Farley, State Senator from District 9 in Tucson, as we talk about wrapping up the legislative session. Now it becomes a measure of... Well, what measures will the governor be signing into law? So that story has not played out yet. Shelley Fishman is up next with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. It's the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We'll be right back.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're?
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're?
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just passed.
packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And it's time to welcome Shelley Fishman, Sheldon A. Fishman, with a Master of Business Administration after his name, MBA, and a CFP, which means Certified Financial Planner. Shelley joins us now on the live line. Shelley, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. If you could sum up the first quarter of the year, I would say that word would be stability. Now, for the second quarter, the word seems to be volatility, correct?
Right. In fact, I ought to interview you. You got it exactly right. That's a very good observation.
Roller coaster.
what we're seeing in the second quarter is there's a lot of volatility and anticipation about how the Federal Reserve is going to and when they are going to begin to cut back on the way they're stimulating the economy. And they're doing it right now two ways, one by keeping interest rates very low, and they've indicated repeatedly that they don't intend to change that, but the other way is by essentially printing money, buying treasuries to the tune of about $85 billion a month. And it's clear they can't maintain that for forever. They have to back off on that. And when they do, nobody's quite sure how the economy is going to react. And so in anticipation of that, I think we see these daily swings on some days everybody says, well, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It'll help the economy. And other people say, no. The stock market is being artificially buoyed up by all of this stimulus. So there's some confusion out there. The bond market has also been kind of taking several hits. We're seeing muni bond funds especially hit pretty hard in the past couple of months. I don't worry about it too much, but there is, you know, some reallocation going on in the markets. We're also seeing precious metals and commodities get badly hit. Gold is down below $1,400 an ounce now, down about 16 or 17% for the year.
Yeah, gold has really been hard hit, as you say. You know, when you look at, I think most consumers, they can follow the Dow. They understand basically how it works. They understand the popular media tells them the Dow's either up or down. But I think the bond markets, Shelley, are a more mysterious entity, and folks really don't understand how it works.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Bonds are less popularly traded, though most advisors will increase the number of bonds and fixed income investments in a client's portfolio as that client gets older and closer to retirement age. But people just don't understand the way bonds normally work. A lot of that is because they're tied to government policy. They're also tied to international monetary policy. And the general rules of how bonds work in relationship to interest rates in the stock market have been just violated over the past 20 years. So nobody's quite certain right now.
Are you doing any reallocation as a certified financial planner right now? Or are you going to wait to see how this shakes out for the first half of the year?
Well, in the first quarter of the year, we did reallocate. We took on some more risk, in other words, more equities, and lightened up a little bit on bonds that were tied to, or what do they call, correlated to treasuries. That's turned out to be a pretty good move. I think in retrospect, perhaps I wish I had cut back a little bit more on some of the hedge positions in my portfolios, namely commodities and gold.
You don't see gold and the commodity markets doing much the rest of the year, pretty much flat, or
I don't see any reason why gold should continue to be as depressed as it is. In fact, I see this as a buying sign. Gold is on sale right now. Now I can't tell you when it's going to continue to go back up, but you know, whether it'll be next quarter or sometime next year. But at slightly below these prices, I have buy orders in for several of my clients and for myself.
And there are all sorts of ways, I'm sure, that you can take care of gold without actually – I mean, there are gold funds is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's a really interesting question. I don't think we've ever discussed it on the show.
No, we haven't.
There's a couple of ways to buy precious metals, and let's just use gold as an example. One way, perhaps the most – convenient and accommodating way is to simply buy a fund that tracks the price of gold. And there are several exchange-traded funds out there that do that very, very reliably. The advantage there is that it's very liquid. You don't have to take chunks of metal and use it as a doorstop or anything like that. And you can trade it instantly. They trade like stocks. But there are people who really want to hold the metal, or they want to know they own the very asset. And there's two ways to do that. One is you can actually buy the gold. You can buy it in ingot form. You can buy it in coin form. You pay a little bit more per ounce for coins and have it shipped to your house and hopefully locked up in a very safe place in your house or in your safe deposit box, and you own the metal.
Well, hopefully it won't be a big lump in the mattress.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of money to buy lumps of gold.
Yeah, it does. Let's see if we can get it.
Another way to buy it is to have your broker-dealer store it for you. So, for instance, at LPL, if a client wants to buy the metal, LPL has a vault on the East Coast where we will store the gold and thus continue to track it in the client's account so that the client will see its value every day. And for people who want to actually own the metal and at the same time not have the risks of having it kind of around the house, that's a pretty good way to do it.
Shelley, I've only got a few seconds left. We had a caller who did not want to go on the air. If you can make this real quick, if the Fed stopped buying the debt, then who will?
Oh, there doesn't seem to be any problem selling our debt. What will happen is the demand for the debt will go down a little bit. Therefore, the rate that the government has to pay to attract buyers will go up. And that will be the beginning of normalization of rates. And a lot of that stuff is going to be bought overseas by China and other emerging nations.
Shelley, thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you?
Right on the BuckmasterShow.com website.
Thank you so much. Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. They've been engaged in the war in Afghanistan for almost 12 years, but now the U.S. and the Taliban have agreed to hold formal talks aimed at finding a political solution that would end the conflict. A military judge has refused a three-month trial delay for the Army psychiatrist charged in the deadly 2009 Fort Hood shooting spree in Texas. Chrysler says it has resolved differences with the government and will recall older Jeep Grand Cherokee and Liberty SUVs. It could be at risk of a fuel tank fire. Leaders from the U.S. and the other G8 countries have agreed to try to fight tax avoidance by multinational corporations. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is up about 156 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 34. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month, we do the Blogger Beat, and our Blogger Beat contributor is David Safir of the award-winning Blog for Arizona. We like Blog for Arizona here on the Buckmaster Show because, well, Blog for Arizona likes us and has a link prominently displayed on the homepage of Blog for Arizona to the Buckmaster Show, and we thank them very much. David, good to see you.
Good seeing you too, Bill.
We have no shortage of material to talk about. We just heard our interview with Steve Farley, calling it one of the most productive legislative sessions in certainly in his 7 or 8 years.
It is delightful to me. I've known Steve for a while, and he's right now my senator in my legislative district. And to hear the man happy.
He's very happy.
About the legislature. He's happy about a lot of things, but usually, as he says, he goes into mourning. And there were a lot of good things that happened. I do have to mention, however, that for all the fact that I'm delighted about some things, education is still getting the short end of the stick. It got, I think, $82 million more this time, which sounds like a lot, but it's really not. And that was legislated, or that was decided by the courts, and actually the legislature is fighting it. So we're in the same kind of a position now that we were last year, and it's just not a good situation for education.
And the university budget hasn't been talked about. I think it was pretty flat, wasn't it, from what they got?
This is not a state that values education at the top, and it's just a shame because it costs too much to go to school, to college. People, you know, complain about the loans, and they should, but one reason the loans are so big is because the state is not doing its share to support its children, its young adults, and support its future. It has to do more. It should do more.
790-2040, 790-2040. You are always welcome, Buckmaster Show listeners, to join us. If there's something that you disagree with David about, he would be he's always game to entertain questions or comments. This education is a good segue. We can come back to the legislature later in the hour, but first I want to go to the big news tonight on the education front here locally, the Tucson Unified School District. The governing board likely to decide tonight that H.T. Sanchez, the only candidate the board put forward for the job, will become the district's new superintendent.
Yeah, they'll either decide he will or they'll decide to put it off. And I'm betting money that they'll decide on a vote and they'll choose him by at least a 3-2 margin. I really think that's coming up. And by the way, I support the decision. I think that he is not the ultimate possible candidate in the whole world, but I taught for more than 30 years. I had a lot of superintendents in my district and neighboring districts, and I never saw that ultimate superintendent. I don't think they, you know, we live in a land of compromise, and we want to find a compromise that's a good fit and that's a smart person who looks like they're going to do the right thing. I have a certain level of faith that Sanchez is that guy.
Well, I've said publicly, David, and I said it on our Friday Reporters Roundtable, I would have been much more comfortable with more than one candidate.
Yeah, you know, there's something that I think people don't consider enough, and that is politics when it comes to school board. You know, if we're talking about the legislature, nobody who is looking at the legislature would think this isn't a political body. This is a body where everybody is making decisions by their best lights. Everybody knows about backroom deals and about shenanigans and all kinds of things to make things happen and to subvert what the other side is doing. With TUSD, people don't think that, but in fact, this is a highly charged political school board, and there's been a real change. Before the election in November, it was basically four more or less conservative board members and Adelita Grijalva, who was the one progressive board member. The voters, in what I think was their wisdom, decided to put in two new people who are progressive, Cam Juarez and Crystal Foster. And now it's really 3-2, with Grijalva being the third person. in the progressive sphere, which really changes the dynamic. Now, Mark Stegeman is a very, very powerful, very intelligent guy who likes to get his way, and now he's getting it less. He is often aligned with Hicks, with Michael Hicks, and that's only two people. He also is very, very, very savvy in the ways of politics. And I don't know people if people know how savvy. People know that he's an economics prof at University of Arizona, and he teaches a general survey class there. But his emphasis is game theory. That's really his emphasis. When we think of economists, we think of people who are either conservative or progressive and for more taxes and progressive taxes or less and for more stimulus or more austerity. No, his field is really, and this is how he put it on his campaign website, the study of strategic decision making, how to make decisions. Now, part of that is very benign, like when I go out to buy a car, I have to decide between a Ford or a Toyota. So I make myself a little cost-benefit analysis in my head or on paper and decide the cost and the features and the safety and the repair record and things of that nature. I do the same thing if I want to buy a Coke or a Pepsi, which do I think is better? But the other part of decision-making and what Stegeman is really very interested in is decision-making in groups. And there it becomes poker. And there it becomes chess. And in chess, I would love you to take my knight if I can take your queen. In poker, I would love you to raise when I have a good hand. I would love you to fold when I'm bluffing. Those are the kind of decision-making pieces that come in. And Stegeman, so far as I can see, and I've been following this very carefully, is using all of his strategic skills to finesse his position. Now, he wrote a paper fairly recently. It was in 2009, and the paper was about leadership and using the economic game theory ideas in leadership. And on the Eller – I saw this on the Eller School website at U of A. The website said when he wrote this that leadership usually isn't that big a part of economic theory, but here it is. And what he said here in this paper is, for a leader, often the less knowledge others have, the better, because it puts the leader into a stronger position. It would be like if we were playing poker and I could see your hand, but you couldn't see my hand. You know, I've got a real advantage there. Yes. I know what's going on. So that whole concept really dovetails with what I've seen about Stegeman. And having said this, by the way, Stegeman and I know each other. We knew each other before from the Democratic Party. And this isn't something that I'm pulling out of the air or saying to criticize him in some kind of an outside fashion. It's just the way he's playing it. And I think personally what he's doing is destructive to the district.
Well, it'll be interesting tonight to see if Dr. Stegeman continues his opposition with a vote or a vote in against Mr. Sanchez, or whether or not he will join the other dissenting vote, Michael Hicks, and making it unanimous.
Well, I don't know, and I have a feeling that he would love to be the fifth vote, you know, down the line, so he could make that decision. But there's another thing I want to bring up about this, and this is something that also people don't know about what happens in school districts, which is that they go into executive committee and they discuss things, and it never leaves the room. In other words, they can talk to people. They interviewed candidates behind closed doors, and nobody can say what happened in those situations. Well, everybody is concerned that there's only one candidate, and I am too, to be honest. But I have an idea about it. This morning I was reading on Cam Juarez's Facebook page, and he said that too. People have been criticizing him about it, as well they should. But he said, as much as I wish we could have provided more than one candidate for the candidate forum, circumstances kept us from doing so. He can't say what he means, right? But circumstances. And here's – I'm going to game this out myself, Bill. This is going to be my game theory.
What is your theory?
The theory is, let's say there are two people, Sanchez and Jan Smith, as you know. And Jan Smith is an okay candidate, and three people think Sanchez is really the best candidate. But one or two, Stegeman, for instance, doesn't think Sanchez is the best. If he can get both of them here, then he gets a situation where we can say, listen, we really disagree about Sanchez, but we all think Ms. Smith is pretty good. So why don't we just go with that? And thereby, that would be very good gaming. Thereby, he gets his choice. But if these people see this as a possibility and say, okay, we're going to subvert that by playing our own game here and choose a person who we know is best, and three people said they knew this person was best, you know, in terms of what they'd seen, that way they're stopping this game from happening. Now, I don't have any insider knowledge about that, but it makes sense to me. I know Cam and I know Crystal. I don't know Adelita, but I know those two. And I know they're very, very honest, straightforward people. They wouldn't do anything that was shady or shenanigans. What they do is what they thought was in the best interest of the district.
Dr. Stegeman will be our Friday Focus interview with us this Friday, and we've also invited Cam Juarez to call in and join us and explain his vote, which he'll be taking tonight, so it's going to be very interesting. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, also about the Sunnyside leadership position with David Safir of Blog for Arizona. If you'd like to join us, 790-2040. It's the Buckmaster Show for a Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Looking for a cool getaway? You want to go where it's 15 degrees cooler than Tucson and in a beautiful area? I strongly suggest Silver City. Grant County, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. There's always something fun going on, it seems like, in Silver City. They have a Hummingbird Festival, July 19th to the 21st. One of their big signature events has to do with pottery. It's the Clay Festival, and that's going to be actually over a full week, July 27th to August 4th in Silver City. Plenty of places to stay, good places to stay, including Lake Roberts Motel, Pinos Altos Cabins, and Manzano's RV Park. You can find out more about Silver City, and I urge you to do so by logging on to Southwest New Mexico, all spelled out, .org. David Safir is with me from Blog for Arizona. We've been talking about the vote, expected vote tonight, on a new TUSD superintendent, the lone finalist, lone candidate, is a gentleman by the name of H.T. Sanchez. He's a young man, relatively young. I think he's about 38 years old.
Something like that.
David, you were at the forum along with, I think, nearly 100 people to hear Mr. Sanchez. Let me first say that one of my problems about not only just the lone candidate, I worry a little bit about, you know, he is an interim superintendent in Odessa, Texas. Nothing against Odessa. I don't know really anything about their education system. But he's moved around a little bit. And I think that people are worried that this could be a repeat of a superintendent that we had in TUSD a couple of years ago.
Well, I have to admit, to be perfectly honest, I'm worried about that, and I'm worried about him being the lone candidate, and I'm worried about whether he'll be a good superintendent, and I'm worried about a bunch of things. But, you know, in my mind, I create a ledger sheet, and I say, what are the pluses and what are the minuses? And I personally see a lot more pluses from him, but I'm sure, I hope that he gets a job. And if he does, I'm sure I'll be criticizing him on a regular basis. I hope I'll be praising him equally. But what I saw there was a guy who is incredibly sharp. He's very, very, very intelligent. And I believe, if I heard correctly, he actually teaches education law at the college there. He really knows his stuff. He's a terrific communicator. He didn't speak in jargon except once when he was mocking how people speak in jargon. And for people who were in education, it was hysterical because he nailed it. And then he went back to talking like a regular person, which great for communication. One of the questions was asked to him in Spanish, and he replied with a 3-minute or something like that answer in Spanish. And my Spanish is minimal, but I know enough to know, once again, he was communicating well. He was talking like folks, just like he did in everything else. This alone is very valuable, a man who can go out in the community and saying, listen, I understand what's going on. I'm a really real human being. I don't speak education speak. Let's get together. Let's make the families and the kids work together with the teachers and the schools. And that's – you can't overstate how important that is. You simply can't.
You blogged on Blog for Arizona about your own personal experience as an educator with several superintendents.
Yeah, and I had some who I thought were doing a very competent job. Now, I wasn't in a difficult district. It wasn't nearly as difficult as Tucson. It was a suburban district and somewhat homogeneous, so it had its problems. Tucson, like all big cities, and Tucson is a little big city, has a huge array of problems. And both in Portland, which is where I was living, and in the district where I worked, I saw superintendents come and go, and none of them did everything they should do. And a lot of people who disagree with me, who are from my stripe, you know, who agree with me on lots of things, really are looking for that perfect candidate. And my feeling is
there is no such animal.
You ain't going to find it. It's not there. And this guy's pretty good. If we go back to the well again, chances are we're going to find someone who is a bigger compromise and has less skills. So I'm going with it.
Let's talk about Sunnyside, the leadership role over there with the superintendent. They have a very important meeting, too, tonight, correct, David?
Yeah, they do. Tonight is supposed to be the night when the superintendent, Manuel Izquierdo, I think I've got that right, is going to be decided not whether he'll be fired, but whether his contract will be extended or will they'll let it run out. Now, two people definitely want it to run out. Daniel Hernandez, so far as I know, does, and so does a guy named Buck Crouch, both members of the board. Three people are more supportive of Izquierdo, and I don't know how the vote's going to go, but there are some questions about the guy. From what I've heard, I think that it would be wiser not to extend his contract. Not that he's a bad guy, but there are questions about whether they want him to be serving there any longer.
His contract will... By extending, I think he's still got about a year, right?
Something like that.
Maybe next June or something.
If they extend it, it goes all the way to retirement.
So I tend to agree with you. There's no real hurry right now to extend it. Let's let it play out a little while, see how it goes.
I think so. You know, I've heard things, both what I've read and talking to people who I know who work at Sunnyside, and people say there really is kind of a culture of paranoia and a culture of fear. And they give the man his due. He is an innovative educator, and he's done some wonderful things by bringing more technology in the district. They don't knock him and say he's worthless, but people are afraid to speak up in the district. The walls have ears. You know, the NSA has nothing on Sunnyside from what I've heard in terms of paying attention to what's going on, and that's not good. As a teacher, you've got to be able to speak out. As an administrator, even as a board member, Buck Crouch, one of the people I mentioned, wrote an op-ed on the Tucson Sentinel online a few days ago that's worth reading. And he said even board members are rather intimidated. Well, that's no way to run a school board, if true. And I don't know enough to say how accurate it is, but that's what I've heard from a number of sources.
David Safir is with us. It is our Blogger Beat segment. David is kind enough to come on to the show every month to talk with us for a half an hour about education and other issues, of course, politics. I want to move back to the legislature, something Steve Farley said during our interview, David, at the top of today's program, that he is not concerned. Senator Farley is not concerned about this referendum drive that former State Senator Frank Antonori will be launching to try to put the Medicaid expansion to a vote of the people.
Well, I hope he's right. And I listened to that segment too, and I have a great deal of faith in Farley to know what he's talking about. I've heard other people say that there are ways to put up roadblocks, and I hope they can't. Because if they do, this whole thing's going to be put off till a year from November, till the elections. We won't be able to implement it. And it simply is somebody putting a political roadblock in front of something that was the will of the legislature and, based on polls, the will of the people. I hope they decide not to. If they decide to, I hope they don't get the signatures. If they get the signatures, I hope the court votes it down. It's really a terrible end game or end around they're trying to work.
It's interesting you mentioned the Arizona Republic graded this particular session and giving A's and B's to all of the major issues. However, the one issue that they didn't grade. Well, actually, they did. They graded education funding as a B, and you might take issue with that one.
Well, that would be graded on a curve. I think. I would say that if I made C or D, taking all the money away from schools, I'd have to give it a B too. If I was to give it an absolute grade, I'd make it at the best a C minus. They didn't make things worse. But they sure didn't make things better, and we're way down 49th or 50th in our funding, and in every sense, we're hurting big time. Our schools are not able to give the students what they need to be the best they can be or to be competitive in the nation. It's a travesty, and I think we should be ashamed of ourselves for that.
I think they were basing the B on the fact that this is, as they say, the first real increase in education spending in Arizona since the Great Recession took care of most of our state finances 5 years ago.
Well, that's true, but the court threw the legislators down on the ground and put them in a hammer lock and forced them to do it, so I can't say that they did it gladly or willingly. I'd like to add one thing, by the way, and that is that Victoria Steele and Ethan Orr were instrumental in getting an extra $250,000 for a mental health first aid program, and it looked like that was going to be shot down completely. But these two freshman legislators from my district, so I'm very proud of it again, worked together to do this. Victoria actually took her name off the legislation, as I understand it, so that it wouldn't have the D next to it, the Democrats, to make that not work. And I applaud both of the people, both Victoria and Ethan, for really sticking for that and doing something wonderful for the state.
David Saphir, you can read his column at blogforarizona.com. David, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Coming up tomorrow morning with Chris and Joe, Wake Up Tucson, the major guest tomorrow will be Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. Also, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, will weigh in. That's tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Want to thank Culligan Water, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water needs. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll be back with you Wednesday at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.